welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable, Episode 71. I Dominated the Wonderlic, recorded Thursday, February 21st, 2013. On this week's episode, Shane Bailey, Drew Young, and Blair Smiley take a look at what it takes for the SEC to put teams into the tourney in March. Does Kentucky have what it takes? Can Tennessee keep up their run? The conversation also turns to the NFL Combine to take a look at the SEC and Indy. Then they give Blair time to talk about baseball and the SEC. All this and more on this week's SEC SRT. And welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable. This is your host, Shane Bailey, back for another exciting episode of the Roundtable. Right in the middle of basketball season, I will get into introductions right now so we can get right into the thick of things and let me cower back in the corner for the rest of the podcast. So from my left to right, if you're watching this on YouTube, for the Google Hangouts, Blair Smiley. Welcome, Blair.
Good to be back, Shane.
Glad you could be here. And then right there in the middle of the screen, we do have Drew Young. Welcome, Drew.
What's up, Shane?
Not a good year to be a Cat fan. That's all I know.
Hey, what happened in that game on that Tennessee-Kentucky game on Saturday? I got it on DVR. I hadn't caught it yet.
Wait a minute. Kentucky played Tennessee this last weekend?
What happened?
I don't know. I missed that.
I haven't watched it yet. I'll give you, what, 28 points. I think Tennessee's going to come out and play.
You know, I don't think that's a good bet, right? That's a good bet. Yeah.
That's it, man.
Right on it.
28.
Give me 28. Well, of course, you know we're going to have to talk about that throughout this podcast. And if you are joining us for the first time, we do cover the SEC. We talk a lot of basketball in the winter here. We do talk football. We'll probably get a little bit of combine talk in. This week, I don't know if you guys were able to catch any of that. Our pre-show work this week is little, if any. I'll just say none. So we'll just kind of wing that to see if anybody's kept up with any of the combine work. I know there's a lot of SEC players down there, up in Indianapolis right now doing that. Of course, basketball, and then Blair's on here, so we're going to have to talk baseball, or at least let him talk for a minute. About the baseball since it's going on.
Wouldn't have anything to do with 11 straight losses on the basketball side of things.
Yeah, it does take away from it's easy to find things to take away your time when your team's not doing well. I can understand that. Again, thank you guys if you are stumbled upon this for the first time. 72 episodes, I'm sorry, are in the books, counting this one tonight. So if we ended this right now, we'd be at 72 episodes. We've been doing this about a year and a half, almost, I guess, closer to 2 years than a year and a half. June 30th of 2011 is when we did our first podcast thereabouts, somewhere that week. So I'd say we're pros at this, but I wouldn't think we're anywhere close to that yet. But we're going to keep trying till we get it right. So get right into things. We'll talk. There's been a lot of basketball action, and it's just not been Tennessee-Kentucky. They're, of course, going to have some conversation tonight because of that. But there's been a lot of action in the SEC the last probably 8 to 10 days that has kind of made it all up for grabs again. So I'll just throw it out there and let you guys pick where we want to go with it, what road we want to go down.
Hey, let's talk about that Tennessee-Kentucky basketball game to kick things off.
I don't remember that game being played. That game they play that game.
I'm going to break it down for you. So last, what would you say? I think Wednesday, Kentucky played Florida. And actually, they weren't playing great, but Nerlens Noel went down with a pretty bad knee injury, which is, in all seriousness, sucks. I mean, we can get into discussions of should you be able to just go directly to the pros. You know, here's a guy that would have been drafted really early, but he had to go to college for 1 year. So now he's torn his ACL, and you kind of question, you know, will he be ready for next year? Is he going to get drafted lower? You know, where's all this? What all is going to happen? So the big thing, though, is Tennessee played them in their first game without Noel, and I thought Kentucky looked like just a night and day different team. And Tennessee, you know, kind of stomped a mud hole in them. And good to see my Vols playing good. I'm excited, man. It's fun to see. And you know, I wish it would have been full strength Kentucky, but I'll take a – hell, I don't care if Kentucky's running out, you know, the Legends team of like 50-year-olds out there. If Tennessee can get a win, I'll take it any way we can.
Blair?
Yeah, I mean, I'll piggyback on what Drew says. I think I saw a stat the other day that they had played 216 times, and it's the largest deficit that Kentucky's beaten, or that Tennessee's beaten Kentucky. So previous 215 times didn't really matter, you know, how bad, you know, Kentucky was. They've never really had, which was a 40-point ball game with 2 minutes left, and couple of tough shots there that cut it to 30 to keep it at a 30-point game. But I mean, it was sure enough a beat down. It was Kentucky didn't handle it very well. It didn't play very well. And I think it's a story of way Tennessee has really played the last four or five games. And I know as a Drew being a fan of Tennessee, I've watched them the last two games, and when you make 15 out of 23s in the last two games and shoot about 55% from the field, and you get a point guard that it goes back to his more attacking style, seems to be a little bit more healthy. I'm telling you what, man, you win a lot of ball games that way.
I mean, that's the thing, Blair, is I don't think Tennessee was as bad as they played. I mean, I think it's been a season that looks a lot like last season. If you remember Tennessee, they kind of struggled, and they got it together at the end. You kind of want to know what's going on with Trey Golden and why is he, you know, turning it on. I think I was listening to the radio, and what they're saying is they don't know what's happening with Trey Golden. They don't really care at this point. They're just happy that he's playing. Trey Golden can score, and I mean, he was I would have said that Trey Golden would have been a possible, you know, like an honorable mention or a third team all SEC type player, you know, coming in his junior year, that's got a lot of playing time and can, you know, fill up a stat sheet. And, you know, I think he's third in the league in assists, and you were probably counting on him to score 15 or 16 points, would have put him in the top five or six in scoring. That hadn't been the kind of season for him. He's not a true point guard, but he's a guy that can definitely help a team out. So he's turned it on, and McCray, you know, has been hot and cold, and he played like, good grief. I mean, he played one of the best games in the SEC against LSU on Tuesday, scoring 34 points, going six for six from three-point range. And then you add in Jarnell Stokes, who it's funny, the coach kind of gets on and benches him a little bit and complains to the refs about, you know, not calling a foul every time he, you know, touches somebody because he's such a strong guy. And then Jarnell Stokes makes comments like, you know, I've been taking plays off and I haven't really been working hard. I haven't had to work hard. What's the SEC? And you're going to have to work hard in college basketball. So maybe a light bulb went off for him, and now he's, you know, a double-double machine. So you get the – I mean, Tennessee's got talent, and if you can get those guys playing, especially, you know, if you'd have added Jerron Maimon, I think Tennessee no doubt was an expected NCAA tournament team. And I still think they've – you know, Tennessee fans are talking about like, hey, you know, win a few more games. And I think Tennessee's pretty much got to win out or win the SEC championship. I mean, they might – I mean, if they win, you know, something ridiculous like six out of their next seven, then – yeah, of course they've got a shot. That'd be, you know, getting the championship game. So it's just, I think they're putting it all together and they're playing hot right now and playing with confidence and you know, it's a good time to do it because they, you know, they've got Florida and Texas A&M and Missouri coming up. So they got some big games. So yeah, see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee, if you look at their schedule, has got a, you know, they got Florida, I think, coming to Knoxville, right? Or do they go to Florida? I can't remember, but They have Florida on the schedule, but
they got Florida at home.
Yeah, and then they got Missouri, I think,
at home as well.
Yeah, so I mean, they've got a couple of shots to get, which I would think would be marquee. They're not going to hurt you in RPI if that makes anything. If you lose those, I think you got to win one of those. But you had to beat a team like LSU at home and do some of the things that they've just done. But I like what Konzo did, man. I mean, he went with that four guard offense, kind of changed it up a little bit, and I think it's got Hall playing a little bit better now that he's coming off the bench, and but I think Golden must have been hurt, but he's been the factor. He's more aggressive, but if he can shoot the ball the way they shot the ball the last, you know, two or three games, you're going to win a lot of ball games because defensively they're going to battle you, and you know, and to transition it to Kentucky, I mean, you know, the thing that had been kind of dragging Kentucky the whole year was guard play, and Noel really had hidden a lot of deficiencies over the last probably 8 games, where he erased a lot of things. And I think with the Tennessee, I think Trey Golden walked in there and said, nobody can guard me, and I'm fixing to just take this ball straight to the rim and nobody can do anything about it. And it was just a kind of a disaster situation for Kentucky at the time.
I just think it's tough, Blair, what you're saying about Kentucky is sorry, phone ringing, happens every once in a while. I think the tough thing with Kentucky is that
I think that's the ref calling a whistle. Time out.
I know, man. Here's the funny thing is I got a new phone number and nobody has except for my wife, and that's who's calling. So I think the tough thing about Kentucky is I think they're talented. I think that you're exactly right. I think Noel, it's not like he was just a stat filler kind of guy where he would – or like a DeMarcus Cousins or somebody like that where you could just necessarily see everything that he's doing. I think the thing is he was so good on defense at just, you know, being around the rim, and he filled up so much space down low that allowed the guys to drive, and I don't think Cauley Stein can handle that. I know he had a career high against Vanderbilt, but, Vanderbilt's not, you know, the cream of the crop in the SEC. Yeah. And then you throw the other guys in. Poitras, I'm a little disappointed. I thought he was – I mean, he definitely peaked at the beginning of the season. And what's his name? Archie Goodwin. Is that right?
Yeah, Goodwin.
Yeah, he's just so hot and cold. I mean, he makes some great plays, and then he makes some bad plays, and he has trouble, you know, gets in foul trouble. And then Ryan Harrow is just – when you have a list of guys like Brandon Knights and Teagues and John Walls, and even back to Calipari with Evans and Rose, Harrow's just not that same point guard that can run that dribble drive. So I think that while they're a very talented team, it's nothing like his teams of the past.
We say that, and I will completely agree with everything you've said about Kentucky so far. But the one thing that's still out there is they're only 2 games out of winning the SEC. And you said, you know, Tennessee, the way they're playing right now, let's look at it realistically. They've got a shot against Florida. I mean, because Florida has shown some vulnerabilities here. Who'd they lose to just the other night? Florida.
Missouri.
So that's 2 losses from them. They come in and Tennessee steals one. And now Kentucky can win and Rupp Arena, which, believe it or not, it's still a hard place to play. So, you know, now all of a sudden that evens them with Florida in the loss column. And then we have Tennessee at the end of the season at home to try to get a little redemption. So as bad as things are, you know, we talk about that. There's some things that can fall in place, and Kentucky's right there in the driver's seat, number one of the East. Number one of the SEC.
Yeah, obviously,
I mean,
the East and West deal, but the Missouri is coming to Kentucky on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a 9 o'clock game.
Yeah, and that's going to be a game that's – I think it's going to tell a lot about Kentucky and where they're going to be headed. And I just think Kentucky's going to have a hard time with Florida, Missouri. You know, they're going to get, you know, a win with Mississippi State coming in there the following Wednesday. But they got to go to Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas, I mean, they play like gangbusters at home,
Arkansas,
and then they can't
yeah.
beat anybody on the road.
No, I agree. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I mean.
No, but Shane, I think Kentucky's kind of got to play their way out. I still think they're in. Yeah. There's just not enough good, and especially the way, like, you know, Ole Miss, you know, having that bad loss against South Carolina last night. It's not going to be just a 2-team SEC, you know, representation in this in the tournament. I think, you know, 4 teams will probably get in, and those teams are pretty solid in right now. But if Kentucky and Ole Miss keep losing those games like this, then they'll play their way out, absolutely. And I think
the problem.
I'll tell you what, Alabama's really close to being in my opinion as well. They're playing really well.
Well, I think that the problem that Kentucky has right now is, you know, 2 of their strong wins was the very first game of the year against Maryland. is one of their better wins, and then Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has fallen off the track. It's hurting Kentucky, you know, from that standpoint. So they've got to beat a Missouri or a Florida, and you know, they've got to win some games here. And so Missouri's playing really, really well. They don't play really, really well away from the road unless they're in Starkville. But other than that, I mean, they haven't won a game except in Starkville this year in the SEC on the road. So I think that's going to be a big, big game on Saturday night to kind of see where Kentucky is and really where Missouri is and see if Missouri's kind of right in the ship.
Now, how many SEC games do the teams play this year? Is it 17?
18.
18. So there's 3 more weeks of play, basically.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, guys. I mean, obviously Ole Miss's loss last night was about as bad of a loss and really is a staple of what Andy Kennedy's, you know, tenure's been like. It's, you know, they've had some really good wins, but they've always had those games where, I mean, against South Carolina, you can't score 2 points in the last 5 minutes and, you know, then block 3 shots in the last 30 seconds. Just a horrendous loss for them.
That's basically the way Michigan State laid down at Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, it's
– You can't go cold in the last – you know, after that last TV timeout. And time again, you've seen really good teams do that this year, and it's not just in the SEC. It's – I mean, Michigan State had that game, and I know that's not SEC play, but that's, you know, 2 top 5 programs, and they just gave it to Indiana this week.
Yeah. And the other thing that you got to realize is that, it, you know, a lot of people really aren't talking about this, but the way the SEC's, you know, tournament, you know, schedule is set up, you know, their bracket is set up to where they're having a Wednesday night, you know, they had added, you know, they got the 14 teams. So they got a Wednesday night bracket. So those top 4 teams get a double bye. So, you know, if you have a Tennessee or somebody that falls into that 5, 6, 7, you don't really get a chance to get a cheap win, so to speak, in the SEC tournament. You get, and so the way that thing kind of lays out, it's going to be interesting to see how it works. You know, because I don't think a lot of people are talking about that. I think some of these SEC teams are going to need a win in the tournament, and they may not play until Friday. So it's going to be kind of interesting.
Well, what other news? I mean, we mentioned the Florida game. We've mentioned Ole Miss. Do we want to hit on that? I mean, do we still think Florida's the team to beat in the SEC?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think so. I mean, you know, I mean, look at the schedule here. I mean, Florida, you know, Saturday they're going to host Arkansas. Then they're going to go to Tennessee. And then they got Alabama coming to them. And it looks like they had Vanderbilt coming to them. And then they got to go to Kentucky. So, you know, the worst I think they are is 4 losses in the SEC. They maybe lose 2 of those, but that's the worst case scenario. So I just don't think anybody catches them.
I'm sorry, Drew, you got anything you want to add there?
No, I mean, I just think that Florida's the number 5 team in the country right now, and I know they just lost a game recently, but that's just, I mean, yeah, I think they're the cream of the crop. I think Missouri's good. I mean, Missouri especially getting players healthy again, playing better, but I still think Florida's just, it's definitely the team to beat right now. They're the only team I see as a possible right now national championship contender. I would not be surprised if Kentucky or Florida played their way that far. I mean, I don't think I'd pick them in my bracket, but I don't think it would be the worst pick ever, especially with the parity that's in college basketball this year.
Well,
but,
I mean, if you look at ESPN, they're giving Florida the number 1 seed, one of the number 1 seeds as of last week before this loss.
It's because there's like 12 teams that can't make up their mind to win a ball game, and so the problem is there's a lot of 4-loss teams out there. The field is going to be as wide open as it's ever been. We say that every year, but I think this year it's going to be interesting. I think that's one of the reasons why the SEC is going to be able to get a 4th team. You know, what happens if an Ole Miss kind of goes off the rails and a hot Tennessee team, you know, catches fire and, you know, and you know, wins four out of the last five and then goes into the, you know, tournament, gets into the semifinals or something. So I think you kind of got to look at those types of things. And then you got an Alabama team that you don't know really how good they are. They're sitting around 60 in the RPI. Are they going to get a chance to, you know, really get a signature win that's going to bump that RPI, you know, into that high 40s that you need to get there? I just don't know if it's going to carry enough weight to do that.
All right. I guess you want to switch gears. Anything else you want to cover in basketball before we talk a few minutes about the combine?
No, I wanted to look real quick. I pulled up just some of the RPI rankings, and that's what's tough, though, is, I mean, listen to some of the teams that are ranked, you know, in the, like, the 25 to like, 50.
There's going to be a lot of
Belmont.
There's going to be a lot of mid-majors.
You've got LaSalle, VCU.
Middle Tennessee.
MTSU 27th. St. Louis, Boise
Southern
State.
Miss.
Creighton. I mean, there's some teams that you see here before, but Louisiana Tech, Akron, Temple. Temple's been a, you know, power. St. Mary's, Bucknell. I mean, look at those teams. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's where you're replacing. You're replacing these SEC teams that, you know, sometimes have that 45 to 50 RPI with all these mid-major teams. And I think it's exactly what the analysts say. This is a year that's going to be very tough, and you're going to, you know, you might buck the trend and see some of those teams that have a 60 RPI make it as an at-large.
Yeah.
Because there's just nobody else to take, and that's just kind of where we're at with college basketball. And I think exactly what Blair said is true, is that you might see some crazy shifts where right now ESPN doesn't have Tennessee even on the bubble, but win a few more games and they might be in the tournament. So
yeah, the other thing that you got to take into consideration is the conference tournaments play a big deal in this whole thing. But I mean, you can't tell me that the SEC tournament I think Florida is the team to beat, but Florida is not good enough to where you can go in and say they can't just play a stinker of a game and have Patrick Young score 4 points and be totally ineffective like he was the other night. And all of a sudden they give away in the game in the tournament in the semifinals, and there's another – it's there for somebody to win the SEC tournament and get in that route. So, you know, these teams like Belmont, like MTSU, these teams that need to win their conference tournament and have been left out in the past have strong enough, you know, consideration that they should be able to get in. And maybe they take an at-large team over a 58 RPI SEC team or whatever.
But still, at the end of the day, I mean, there's got to be some money that comes into this equation. And a team like Kentucky, you know, as much as I'm a Kentucky fan, from a revenue standpoint, eyeballs would much rather see Kentucky, as much as people talk about it, and it's been proven time and time again that everybody loves the Cinderella story, but nobody roots for them. You know, when it comes down to it, when you want to see eyeballs watching a TV program, would they much rather watch Kentucky play or VCU? And you're going to have the much higher ratings from a Kentucky program being on there, no matter what their RPI is.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I'm a firm believer in, you know, the UNCs and the Dukes and the Kentucky. I give them a benefit of the doubt. I mean, they've been good for a long time, and they're the teams that prove that when they get in the tournament, they can, you know, even when they have a down year every once in a while, they make a run in the tournament. So yeah, I think that you would, if you gave, I don't know, Arkansas, or you gave like Alabama Kentucky's resume right now, I think that Kentucky will do more with it because of their tradition and who they are. I don't necessarily know if they're just sitting there thinking straight up from a money standpoint, but I do. I agree. I mean, I think that Kentucky's going to get the benefit of the doubt, and they're going to have to really, really play their way out of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just – Kentucky's an example, but there's probably a dozen of those programs across the United States that aren't where they used to be.
North Carolina.
That's going to get stronger consideration only because that at the end of the day, the NCAA still has to make money. They still got to make their – sponsors happy, and you know, after Thursday, Friday, maybe some Saturday, Sunday games, nobody cares about the Cinderellas. You know, that's because that's the time where they can win, and they've won in the past. And you all of a sudden, it's time for them to start to disappear in week two. And so you kind of expect to see the programs and the names that you know when you start filling out brackets. And you don't want to see a Creighton or a VCU or a Belmont or an MTSU start filling up all those brackets. And I just think that at the end of the day, you're going to start to see that. And I'm not saying that's right, but no matter what those RPI numbers are, I do not see the selection committee going in and making an abundant case to say these guys have the better program this year and they deserve to play. I just don't see it happening. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, except that I think Kentucky makes it.
But it's the exact same thing that Drew's talking about. Kentucky's got to play their way out. You know, you lose to Missouri and Florida. Those are your two really chances to make a statement outside of the tournament. And then you still got to go to Arkansas. I mean, Kentucky this Saturday is a big game for them from a psychological standpoint, I think, for those kids. Because they went to a Tennessee game where they didn't handle the adversity at all very well. And then you play a Vanderbilt team, which frankly has no size down low, and you play them in Rupp Arena and you barely survived. With a team that's not very good. So Missouri, in the way that they're playing, the way they played, I'm interested to see, because Missouri hadn't played well on the road.
I mean, Kentucky's got four tough games out of five. I mean, you've got Missouri, Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, and then you guys are sandwiched in there somewhere, right?
We're not tough.
I said four out of five.
Yeah.
So you see, whoever's listening can fill in the blank who that fifth team might be.
Yeah. Don't take us lightly, man. You know, that walk-on Baxter Price or whatever his name is going to score a bucket.
You going to steal a cell phone number and start calling the Kentucky players again? Is that what you're going to do?
We'll definitely do that.
Good. But, I mean, you're right. They're going to have to win. I would like to see them win three of the next five. I mean, that has them to, 21 wins, if my math's correct? Aren't they at 18?
Yeah, that's correct.
So, you know, I don't 20 wins is going to be tough because there again, it depends on what happens with the other teams in the SEC. All of a sudden, they could win two of the next five and all of a sudden still be a top four seed the way this is going.
Yeah. But
who knows how that's going to end up. So.
Well, the thing that you got to watch is you got to watch what Missouri does. You got to watch what Alabama does. You got to watch what Tennessee does. And that really can – I mean, if Kentucky loses three out of five and those guys win some ball games, all of a sudden, you know, you're playing on Thursday in the NCC tournament, which doesn't really bode well for you.
Yeah, Arkansas, Missouri, and Ole Miss are all setting one game back at Kentucky right now.
Yeah, Missouri's kind of they're the cream of that group right there. I think Missouri is slowly but surely figuring it out. I think the thing, the matchup that's got me interesting is the guard play. I think Pressey is going to be a pretty tough deal for Kentucky to handle.
Well, if Kentucky can pull that one out, I mean, that puts a two-game lead against Missouri at that point, and that for that fourth spot, if you want to look at it that way. And that makes that with two-game lead with four to play is a pretty good spot to be in. So this weekend will make a little things a lot clearer where we need to go from there. Has anybody seen anything that's been going on with the combines?
Did it start today or
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, of course I follow kind of the Tennessee guys and I know they got quite a few people in there. I know they said Tyler Bray's put on about 25 pounds.
How does that happen?
Is that beer weight?
Somebody on the message board said he's discovered like a strand of weed that's very fattening.
Called, hey, I stayed in there and I didn't throw beer bottles out in the parking lot.
He hasn't been throwing the beer bottles. You know, throwing the beer bottles is a very good way to lose weight, you know.
Drinks the beer, not throws it.
He hasn't been doing that.
He's been drinking the beer, not throwing it, right?
Exactly.
Well,
that's right. Did y'all see the blog that had kind of the last 3 years of SEC teams and the number of players that they sent to the combine, which I thought was kind of interesting, because it really kind of showed, like, Alabama was like third. I think LSU has sent like 29 players in the last 3 years to the combine, which really the combine's an invited deal. It's where scouts and them basically say, you have the best chance to actually
get drafted.
And so I think that's a good
Now, does that take – I guess everybody participates that gets invited. They just might not throw or run or do any of that stuff. They'll show up and take the tests and be the interviews.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, talking about Tyler Bray, you know, he was invited, but he has to throw. So, you know, which is the dreaded thing to do as a quarterback because your arm is pretty much shot.
I don't know that he is he has to throw. I think he's selected. He chose to throw, right?
No, that's not what they actually said. Because they said that in those scenarios, it's typically kids from smaller schools or underrated come to throw. But for them to do that, you basically have to be invited to do that, and it's your only invitation. So I saw Charles Davis talking about it, which I found it kind of strange. But basically they said that when you're invited to do that, you don't really have a choice, which I thought was interesting.
Now, here's the thing, though. If I was Tyler Bray, I'd be much more worried about my interviews and less about throwing. I think he can make the throws fine. I think that what he has to worry about is what's going to come out on those interviews, because who knows how many jet skiing stories and beer bottle throwing stories are going to come out and how much that'll be questioned, because his arm's not really the question mark. The question mark is you know,
what's between the ears, yeah. And those NFL scouts and those programs have a really good way of finding out about information that even the general fans might not have heard about, stories and rumors and things, and they're going to get asked those questions to see how they perform on that. So I personally
I'm interested to see what Marcus Lattimore does with his interviews. I think it's pretty impressive what his recovery has actually done, and reading some of the articles about it, it's pretty impressive.
Well, I think that the NFL has proven that, you know, you can come back from those type of injuries. So it's not going to hurt his draft stock as much as it would have 3, even 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, with McGahee coming back and doing what he's done in the NFL, Adrian Peterson just last season, I mean, that stuff's still fresh on people's minds, that, you know, those type of injuries aren't going to be career ending or necessarily devastating, that you can come back the next year, be just as good or stronger. And so I don't think – I don't think it's going to affect him as much as people think it might.
Well, the crazy thing is that he's supposed to run next week, which is 4 months after that injury. You would think it's pretty remarkable.
That's crazy.
He's not human.
We need to be excited for what CP84 is going to do. I think he's going to. I think he'll show out. That's exciting. Be the first wide receiver taken. His 1 year on the hill, I'll still claim him as a Vol.
That's hilarious. I'm interested to see what Jonathan Banks actually runs, because I think he can make a real jump from a late round to early second if he runs well, because he's got all the size and tools. But it'll be interesting.
How much can a person's stock actually rise after the combines and the individual workouts, do you think? Because a lot of times that's where you really see a lot of performance out of, like, your quarterbacks.
You look at if somebody runs like a 4.2 40 like Chris Johnson ran and kind of goes out of nowhere to be a first-round pick. I think if guys show out at, like, receiver, I mean, I think it's so wide open and you've heard so many different names that you really could see somebody that just kind of moves up. I think for offensive skill players, it really can bump you up and hurt you as well. So, you know, we'll see from there. It's exciting, though. I mean, it's very exciting as a Tennessee fan for so many skill players skill position players that are involved with the combine this year. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's I don't watch a lot of that. I mean, a lot of it happens during the day, and I don't know. I just don't have the patience to sit and watch guys running, you know, down the field there at Lucas Oil.
You don't watch the shuttle drills or anything?
The what?
The shuttle drills or the anything else, the routes. I mean, that's what's horrible. You watch these guys.
The standing jump. Routes
and they drop a pass, and you can just see it on their face. They feel like, you know, I just
like cost
farming an interview or something like that.
I've just cost myself tens of thousands of dollars potentially because I dropped that pass. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure there. I mean, I would think for some of those things, it's just as much pressure as a game time situation, because you're right. I mean, you could potentially go cost yourself, I mean, $100,000 or more in that in a 1 year's period of time. But on the same side of that coin, though, is people take the Wonderlic test, and Drew, me and you've taken that before. You know,
I've dominated the Wonderlic.
How do you not score at least a 15 on that?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this, Shane. As a new teacher, I can tell you some people just don't give a damn. I mean, I think that,
and that's where I was going with that. Is that, I mean, that's the same side of that coin. Is you would think they would at least put a little effort into this, because you know that they potentially could cost themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars, because it's starting to become a pattern that individuals that do poorly on this stuff, by and large in the NFL, do not do well. When they've got something messed up in their head, they don't. When they don't use their brains, they it just doesn't translate well on the field anymore.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Shane. Me and you look at the Wonderlic test, and we see a question that says something like, you know, Blair is 7 years old, and Shane is 5 years older than Blair, and Drew is 3 years younger than Shane. How old will Blair be when Drew is 6 years older than Shane? I mean, you know, something like that, where you look at it and you're very concerned. You're like, this is impossible. I can't do this. But me and you will go, okay, let me take a second and see if I can reason this out. Well, then you get a guy like Vince Young, who probably has never had to try really hard on tests or reason things out or use a lot of logic, and he gets those type questions, and he just goes, screw it, I'll just guess or I'll skip it. And that's what most of the Wonderlic questions are things that you have to reason out or you just know. I mean, you know, I can convert, you know, inches to feet and yards, but I'm fairly sure there are plenty of running backs that have never had to do that, and they just don't see why it's important. But what it really is how well you do under pressure and what you can do in a short amount of time. But I guess they don't have to worry about that anymore because they're not using the Wonderlic anymore, correct?
No, they're using that in addition to another test.
Okay, I know they've got a new test that they're using. So
yeah, I don't think they're just going to abandon the Wonderlic. I think they're going to kind of like compare and see, you know, based on what they've scored on each of these tests, is one a better predictor than the other?
Yeah,
that's what the way I understand that. But I understand that. But you know, you've got people, even Vince Young's, who was his agent, his dad or something, uncle, originally.
I mean, Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man Jones. It was somebody like that. But I mean, even then, they've got to be smart enough to say, you know, you really ought to spend a couple thousand dollars and go to Appleton Learning or something and learn some basic remedial test skills here, because you could potentially cost yourself $1 million.
Shane, you would do that, I would do that, but these other athletes, they just don't think like
that.
Well,
I mean, we're using Vince Young. I mean, he spent $26 million after taxes, so he's a real bad example.
Well, there's other people, too, that have done the same thing. So,
yeah, and it's like, hey, nothing like throwing a $300,000 birthday party for 20% interest.
Well, I don't know. Anywhere else we want to go with this? It sounds like we're having some audio issues. Blair, Drew's getting some echoes on his end.
Yeah, I don't know what it sounds like for other people, but I don't know. It sounds like echo for me. I don't know. If Blair wants to talk about baseball, I mean, I can take a nap or something.
I go on, get it out. What are you, 5-0?
How's Mississippi State doing, Blair?
No, we're 5-0. Of course.
Number one in the nation?
No, we're like fifth, I think, some of them.
So, how's Tennessee doing?
Tennessee is 1-3.
Fire Serrano or whatever his name is.
What about the Batcats?
Kentucky is 3-0.
There we go. They were ranked pretty high preseason, were they not, Blair?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they're.
And that's the thing. We looked at that. I don't know if you were on that podcast or not, Blair, but was there like 8 teams in the top 25? From the SEC? I mean, it's just loaded this year. I mean, how do you rebuild? I mean, it's there we go. We lost him. See, we started talking baseball, and he was so happy.
He's so excited. He's in his escape button again.
I know. I tell you what. So, all right, we're done with that. Don't have to act like I care.
Yeah, I don't know. The only time I like college baseball is when it gets close to the College World Series. That's the only time I'll watch it. Go to a game live would be awesome, but
yeah.
But
I'm like
watching
you
on TV or even worse, reading about it on the internet. I'm not down with that.
I'm like you. I'll go watch a game live a couple weeks before they go down to Hoover. You know, I'll start kind of seeing where everybody's shaking up. Glad you could join us back, Blair. With 8 teams in the top 25, I'll just finish that since you're back and act like we care. With 8 teams in the top 25, I mean, it's just you basically reload every year in the SEC and pick your poison, right?
Yeah, it's Southern baseball, man. It's it's good stuff. I'm excited about it. You got Vanderbilt and you got Florida and you got, you know, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Alabama,
A&M,
LSU. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up. Keep it fairly short tonight. Blair, you want to start us off with an open mic?
Sure thing. You can follow me at Blair Smiley, Smily. And nothing really new going on. The wife has a new job as of Monday, so our week's been kind of long. It's kind of changed up the morning and evening routines, but
daycare becomes a little harder to manage, right? Not going to daycare, but just the scheduling and who's picking up and I understand that.
And I do have some good news, Shainer. Bennett is he's a big boy now, man. We did a little potty training. He's accomplished the stand up peeing. He's still crapping his pants, but other than that, it's all right.
Hey, you stand up to pee, you crap in your pants. It'll happen to them all at some point in life. So.
Oh yeah.
Drew, anything you
want? Drew still craps his pants, but
every once in a while. I'll give a quick funny story. So this is just a weird coincidence. Tennessee-Kentucky basketball game. Sorry, I'm not rubbing it in. But Tennessee-Kentucky basketball game. In the first half, if you remember, there's a jump ball. The ball gets stuck in between kind of on the side of the rim. And you know, they look at the possession arrow and they give it to Tennessee. And before anything can happen, they hand the ball to Tennessee. Tennessee inbounds it, throws it to Skylar McBee. Skylar McBee hits a three. Turns out that the jump ball, the possession arrow, was going the wrong way. And at the next timeout, there's nothing you can do about it, but of course, if you're the team that gets screwed by it, you just want to bitch about it because it's just horrible that you have to deal with the incompetence of that. And not only does that happen, but Tennessee hits a three on you, and it compounds the issue. Well, anyways, you know, the assistant coach was arguing about it, and if you're assistant coach in basketball, you pretty much can't say anything to a referee, and he gets teed up and ejected. Well, about 45 minutes later, I go to my nephew's basketball game, DVR in the second half of the game to watch later. And my brother, podcast regular Brett Young, is the assistant coach in the 10-year-old, I think it's like a 10 and 11-year-old or 9 and 10-year-old basketball league. They're playing, and they're down by like 4 points. And start of the second quarter, the other team gets the ball, you know, about 40 seconds goes off the clock, we get a jump ball. Well, clearly the other team had just gotten the ball at the end of the second quarter 40 seconds ago, but the guy never changed the possession arrow. So they start handing the ball to, you know, the opposing team. And, you know, I'm an assistant coach on that team. I go to the practices, but there's a rule that you can only have two coaches on the bench. So I let my brother, and then Jay Harris is another guy that's been on the podcast. He's the head coach. So I kind of sit in the stands, but I'm like, you know, hold up. That's wrong. Remember where the possession arrow is. But they go ahead and inbound the ball. The other team, you know, just catches it and shoots a layup right away. So we kind of stop and we're questioning it. Jay ends up calling a timeout, and they're talking about it, and just he's kind of giving it to him a little bit. And then Brett proceeds to start arguing, and he gets a technical. And then he, you know, I think his comment's like, fine, thank you, or something like that, which you cannot say when you get a technical foul. He gets immediately gets another one, gets ejected from the game. So he was a little embarrassed about that. I thought it was funny. I immediately went out of the stands and went to the bench and started coaching because it meant I got to coach again. So it was fun. But
did you help bring him back from behind?
He got ejected from a youth basketball game.
It'd be better if you can say that you came back and helped him come from behind to win that game.
No, we got rolled. Oh. We weren't nearly as good as the other team. It ended up being actually a close game. I think we lost by like 8. So yeah. It is funny. Brett has now been kicked out of a youth basketball game. So be sure to let him know that if he comes back on the podcast, that you know.
Well, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. So.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to get him on. It's hard to get him on during basketball season. He's also, you know, besides being a youth basketball coach, he's a head coach of a middle school. So.
Well, we did ask him every week almost during football season too. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Can they follow you anywhere for your G-rated tweets?
Yeah, I haven't been too dirty lately. You can follow me at DrewYoung20 on Twitter. That's about it. I don't know any Facebook or anything like that. I got one, but I haven't said anything good on that in about 6 years. So you can follow me at MySpace, DrewYoungMusic.
Do you still have the same pic on your MySpace with just the head in the middle of the water?
Yeah, the one where I was in a canoe and flipped it over, and I'm just like – kind of swimming back, and all you can see is my head, and that was my MySpace pick. I would guess if MySpace still exists, I don't know that it does, but if it does, then I'm sure that's my picture if I have an account. Yeah.
It does. They're rebranded.
Aren't you Wiccan or was something?
That was the, you know, MySpace was the first one where you could, like, I don't know, I just thought it was ridiculous, and I do the same thing. I don't know why I use Twitter the way it's supposed to be used, but every other, like, social media, I just think it's ridiculous that somebody's, like, telling you everything they're doing on Facebook and all this stuff. I mean, this is my relationship status and blah, blah, blah. So I put that I was a, like, bodybuilder. Because you have to think, like, body type. I was, like, a bodybuilding Wiccan, you know, that was, like, 7 feet tall. And, you know, my, like, sexuality, I was like, I don't know.
So. You might have to clean that. Well, I guess it didn't affect you getting a teaching job, so.
Yeah, Metro doesn't care if you're Wiccan or whatever.
Yeah,
equal opportunity religious affiliation.
Especially the school that I've been at recently, they just want a little money in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can follow me at P. Shane Bailey, and I can tell you that I am glad that it is almost March because I'm ready for a break. School's kicking my butt. After about 18 years, going back to school is not what I intended to do, but definitely a challenge. So probably another reason why the podcasts don't happen quite as frequently, just because some of the extra free time gets sucked into database management. So we're glad that it's week 7 of 8 for this master's program and get to start all over new again here in a couple of weeks. But you can follow me at, you know what that's like, don't you, Drew?
Oh, yeah, going back to school is fun. You get a degree, and then you get a whole bunch of loans to pay back. But I did do my taxes this last weekend, and you see that just like $2,000 tax credit for the lifetime learner. I'll take it. It's nice.
I don't know anything about that, so I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, well, if you started last year – I don't know. You might get it this year. this in 2013?
I enrolled in 2012. I took some classes last year.
Yeah, you got to – it depends on how much you've paid or something like that. I didn't get it my first year because I didn't have enough hours or enough money spent, I guess, to go back to school. But this year I absolutely got it. I was pumped.
I'll have to look into that. So you can follow me at P. Shane Bailey if I didn't already say that. And, guys, with that, we'll call this podcast done.